Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
All Tebow. All the time. I know that's exactly what you wanted to hear. Exactly what you wanted to hear. Hate to disappoint you. Oh, welcome inside the playbook for Thursday. I'm just sitting here shaking my head. And I'm looking at ESPN, and I'm looking at NFL Network, and I listen to a bunch of sports talk radio today, and I'm reading a bunch of things online. I hope, you know, like you guys are too. You know, because you're ready for this. But thank goodness it's almost time for kickoff that we can get by this. Honest to God, I think my head will explode if we had to play one more week of Tim Tebow and the Broncos. I swear my head would explode. This is, whew, but it's all anybody wants to talk about. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, please. I'm begging you. Tell me I'm wrong. John Rook, Patriots Playbook for Thursday. Pats and the Broncos, 8 p.m. Eastern time here at Gillette Stadium on Saturday. PFW's Eric Scalavino should join us in a short while. They changed the interview schedule today following practice in the bubble because it's been raining all day today here at Gillette. And blustery and cold and just kind of overall nasty. No snow, but rain. And so they practiced indoors in the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse. And then they move the interview times in the locker room until approximately 2:30 or so this afternoon. So Eric will hopefully join us before he's got to retire upstairs for writing purposes. But when he gets down the locker room, we'll get the latest from him on the Patriots locker room here a couple of days before kickoff. In the meantime, here's something that I want to throw out. And Russell Baxter joins us in the second hour here on Thursdays, as he always does. Our own pro football guru from ProFootballGuru.com. Check him out, and we will preview the AFC and NFC divisional matchups coming up in hour number two of the program today. Now, plenty of time for you. Webradio@Patriots.com, the email address, the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Submit the friend request if you haven't done it. And then once you do that, we'll accept that. Then you can post to your delight on air and even off air. And then the Twitter page, at J-Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722, at J-Rook, 0722. That's the Twitter page address. Okay. Now, did anybody else see ESPN Sports Poll that has officially named Tim Tebow America's most favorite athlete? Really? America's most favorite athlete. This whole phenomenon now, and let's face it, this is nothing but a phenomenon. And I'm not even sure really how we can put, I'm kind of struggling for words here. I'm not even sure how we can describe it as anything but. I mean, not even a month ago when the Patriots were getting ready to play the Broncos, it was still sort of a cultish fad type thing. The Broncos had ripped off some nice wins in a row. Tebow was a nice story. Here's a kid who has a lot of heart, a lot of physical apparent ability, but lacking in a lot of the technique, let's say, and form, to where most experts thought he would be an NFL, quote-unquote, standard quarterback. And yet he's leading the Broncos to a win in a mediocre, at best, division in the NFL. That's fine. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they won some last-second games, and he led them on some last-second drives. And so, you know, every once in a while you get a team like this that just has, you know, basically sunshine blown up its rear end. That's basically what you had here. Nice story, right? And then the Patriots go in, and then they pound Denver in Denver, despite the fact that they gave up a 16-7 lead, right? Yes, it was a 16-7 Denver lead in the first half of that, and Denver rushed for 166 yards in the first quarter. That's phenomenal. So things certainly seem to be going Denver's way, and then the Patriots' defense finally stood up, makes some plays. They force some turnovers. Patriots' offense gets back into it, and then they roll the Broncos by 18, and everybody says, oh, that's great. Nice story. It's now over. The Patriots, first and foremost, were fortunate to win the game the way they won the game a month ago. Now, they don't turn Denver over. That could be a different story. I'm not ready to say that the Broncos still win that game, but it certainly could have been a different story. And I think you probably deep down have to admit that. And so, all things being equal, I realize the game is not in Denver. The game's in Foxborough. But if you don't turn Denver over, and Denver still comes out and does what they did, you know, less than a month ago, well, then you'd have to say there is a shot. And we talked about that primarily on yesterday's show. Well, now ESPN's just, they're throwing. Honestly, I got the impression today for the first time. I really think ESPN does a good job. And many of you know that I worked for the worldwide leader, the self-proclaimed worldwide leader, for 11 years as a show host on ESPN Radio. And the first time, this is the first time I think maybe in, I'd say at least 12 to 15 years since before I started working for them. And I stopped doing shows, I think, primarily for them about a year ago, a little over a year ago. I think it was right around Christmas time of 2010. And, but this is the first time in 12 to 15 years easily that I really believe that ESPN is throwing stuff up on the wall and hoping it sticks. And you know what I mean when I say stuff. Four-letter word for doo-doo. I was disgusted this morning. I'm watching all the early sports centers, and I usually have, you know, their sports centers on a loop as I'm sitting in my office at home, and I'm writing, and I'm getting a lot of work done, and I'm prepping for the show and getting ready to talk to you guys. And then I'm hearing about the sports poll, and then I go online, and I see the sport ESPN sports poll that says that Tim Tebow is the most liked athlete in America, most famous athlete in America. I believe that's the exact phraseology. Most famous athlete in America. And I realized that, you know, well, that puts them in, him then up there in the category of guys like Tiger Woods. I don't know. Did Brett Favre win that award once, maybe? Who decides this stuff anyway? And how is this a scientific poll if you're only polling like 1,000 people? Is this like the Gallup poll that, you know, tells us that Mitt Romney's going to be president or something? Or I don't know. What? What's the plus or minus, you know, correction ratio in this poll? And I'm thinking, oh, they're just piling on here. And I've kind of had it up and over my water limit here on Tim Tebow. It's a good story. He seems to be, by all rights and reasons, a genuine person. I think it's great that he, you know, believes strongly in his beliefs. I'm less turned on by the fact, obviously, that he feels the need to put it out there all the time. And I think that seems to be a general consensus. That we're, you know, many of us don't mind his, you know, self-proclaimed desire to let us all know, it seems like at all times, that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but frankly, you know, I know it already, so why do we keep getting it shoved down our throats? Again, I don't mean to go anti-religion here. That's not the point. The point here is that it's a nice story, and now ESPN's just, they're just spraying gasoline on a fire is what they're doing. And that just, I was taken aback by that. Now, this may be a legitimate poll. I don't know. What's legitimate at ESPN anymore? What is? I'm not sure I can tell anymore. I mean, they got SportsCenter host playing game show host, and I mean, come on. Have we really lost all sense of journalistic, you know, credibility here? When you got SportsCenter anchors and guys playing game show host and yelling and screaming at each other, and they got these scientific polls talking about Tim Tebow. Come on. What happened to reporting the sports news? Really? So I'm left now to sort of grasp, you know, it's just got to be, all right, they see the opportunity here to latch onto a phenomenon, for lack of a better phrase. I think we called it this a week ago, did we not? The Tim Tebow phenomenon. It's really nothing more, nothing less. Tebow is a nice story. He's not a great quarterback, at least not right now. I certainly believe that many of us, including myself, have great doubts over the fact whether or not this guy will ever be what might be considered a top NFL quarterback. This is not news to anybody. But he's got the momentum thing going. John Elway, his own self, running the operation now with the Broncos, the former great quarterback, the master of, one of the masters of, Yesterday? Was it yesterday, the 25th anniversary of the drive against Cleveland, I think? It was either yesterday or the day before. I mean, that's one of the most memorable comebacks of all time. And Tebow has done a lot of that this year. Not quite to that extent, but you get the point. So here's a guy now, John Elway, who has Tim Tebow's fate in the palm of his hand, literally and figuratively. And earlier this week on local radio in Denver, he said that, we were going to discuss all this stuff after the season's over, but he wasn't going to commit to Tebow. And now ESPN's saying today how, Denver, Tebow's their guy. Tebow's their quarterback. That couldn't be further from the truth. He's not their guy. I doubt very seriously he will be his guy. And I'm going to repeat today, right now, right here and now, what I said on this program yesterday. Tim Tebow will be a journeyman in the NFL. He'll probably play for four or five different teams. He may end up with a 8, 10, 12-year career. It's quite possible. I don't think anybody can accurately predict that because injury is such a great equalizer in this game. But I don't see him having an 8, 10, or 12-year career with one team or even two teams for that matter because I just do not believe he'll be made for the long haul. Tebow is a fad. Tebow is a phenomenon, as I said. Tebow is the flavor of the week, or in this case, the month, maybe even the season. And then when they realize that, you know what? This guy isn't very accurate. You know, and maybe they can help him with his footwork, and maybe they can help him with his accuracy, and maybe a guy like Elway can actually help him. Remains to be seen. Remains to be seen. But the guy has moxie. The guy has a physical presence. The guy certainly has a something-something, doesn't he? And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel like, hey, God is on his side for whatever reason. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really ready for all of this to end. And I realize that the Patriots are 13.5-point favorites. And then the Broncos have been talking over the last 24 hours. I don't know if you've seen some of the stories out of Colorado. National Wire Services are picking it up. Tight end Daniel Fells of the Broncos. Here's his quote. I love listening to people hate on us. I mean, you can hate if you want to, but we're still here. We're moving forward. The more you hate, the more we feed off of it. And so the Broncos are playing the, boulder on the shoulder routine here, just like the Patriots, as you know, love to do. So the Broncos are trying to create this us against them scenario where they're more than two touchdown underdogs, or right at two touchdown underdogs, to the Patriots going into Saturday night's game here in Foxborough. And I'm ready for someone just to stop this madness. And this goes beyond being a Patriots fan. This goes beyond working for Patriots.com radio. This goes beyond anything that we've ever talked about here. It's just that, okay, it's a passing fad. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything against Tim Tebow. I really don't. I don't have anything against the Broncos. They're a nice story. But for them to take umbrage at the fact that, they're getting dissed, come on. You were 8-8 and you won your division. It's like, I realized that, Seattle was ridiculed last year for winning their division at 7-9 and they ended up, popping New Orleans in the playoffs. That's the problem with Saturday night. Patriots need to make sure that they are not looking ahead. That's my greatest fear for Saturday is that the Patriots might be looking ahead. Because I just don't see any way possible in any way, shape, or form, that Denver wins this game unless the Patriots shoot themselves in the foot. They pull the Plexico Burris and go, bang, shoot yourself in the foot. It's the only way I see it. Again, with all due respect to Denver and Daniel Fells and Tim Tebow, but I am also starting now that I've seen this whole most favorite athlete thing come out, and Tim Tebow is an overwhelming winner, and I'm all right, I'm ready. I'm ready. This is the shelf life is about worn out here. Can we please stop the madness? Have any thoughts one way or the other? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Wow. To that extent, I thought it'd be kind of fun, though, to examine who you feel like your most favorite athlete is today. Is it Tim Tebow? Let's do our own Patriots playbook, scientific or otherwise, poll. ESPN says America's favorite athlete is Tim Tebow right now. Is your favorite athlete Tim Tebow? Is your favorite athlete Tom Brady? Is your favorite athlete Tiger Woods? Is your favorite athlete Eric Scalavino? Who is it? Who is your and if it is Tim Tebow, why? Who's your favorite athlete? Playbook listeners, 508-298-0398. Plus, we need your score predictions for Saturday. All right, we really haven't concentrated on those because most everybody seems to think every week the Patriots are going to win. I want your score. Give me your score. I don't want to hear Patriots are going to win, baby. I don't want to hear that. Give me a score. Buck up and give me a score. Get off the fence and give me some points. What are we talking here? We talking 31-17? We talking 38-10? We talking 42-27? What are we talking here? And better yet, if you really believe that Denver is or at least can win this game, I got to hear from you today. I really do. Not to be ridiculed, because I'm not going to do that. And I think most everybody who's listening to the show knows that I don't ridicule. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's opinion is equal. Everybody has a right to give their opinion. I want to know what you think the score is going to be. And if you think Denver's going to win, what's it going to be? And why are you picking Denver? So there's a lot of things to get to today. Favorite athlete? What's the score in the game? Are you picking Denver? And why? 508-298-0398, web radio at patriots.com. Post it up on my Facebook page, or you can tweet it at jrook0722. Mary Beth says, I agree. I think everyone is going Tebow crazy. Is it Tebow love or Patriot hate? You know, that's actually a good question, Mary Beth. I think it's actually a little bit of both. I think there are some, and I think this also includes that the four-letter network, I think there are some that would love to see the Patriots fall flat on their face. There are a lot of Jets fans. I happen to know this for a fact, having worked there for 11 years. There are a lot of Jets fans and a lot of Giants fans who work in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN, who would love to see the Patriots fall, who never have liked the fact that, you know, hey, Spygate happened. It did. And they still think the Patriots cheated their way to Super Bowls. I'm telling you, I think that there's an agenda with a lot of the people who are digging this stuff up. I'm telling you, I think that some of this stuff is probably manufactured. And I'm telling you that you need to, everything that comes out of ESPN, you need to take with a grain of salt. Just take it with a grain of salt. I'm not accusing them of making stuff up entirely, but I think some are. Some are. That's all I can tell you. Mary Beth also says, my favorite athlete is and always will be Teddy Bruschi. That's a good one. Active athlete, favorite athlete, Tom Brady. And then she goes, score, Pats 35, Broncos 28. Ooh, so she thinks it's going to be closer than a lot of people are giving Denver credit for. All right, way to step up, Mary Beth, and contribute. That's Mary Beth in Syracuse. She's answered. How about you? Web radio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Here's Paul in Maryland. Paul, you're in the playbook. See there?
Yep.
Hey, Paul. Good. How are you, man? Hey.
I'm good. I'm actually right in the heart of Ravens country right here.
Ooh, well then, you know, if the things pan out the way that we hope that they do, then we'll need to speak again next week, won't we?
Yeah, I know. They're all hoping for the Super Bowl here, but I don't think it's going to happen for them. At least I'm hoping it won't.
They are offensively challenged.
Yeah, they got issues. Especially Flacco is just not a good quarterback.
I agree.
Very mediocre. So I don't see how they can score points. They can stop the run, and they can do a good job in the secondary, but pretty much they're done with the offense, except for one guy.
Right.
Anyway, my favorite player is definitely Gronkowski, because
okay.
He's had this phenomenal year. And I think the score in the game is going to be 38-20.
38-20? All right, so you think
yeah.
18 points, they're going to cover that spread. Now, let me ask you this, though, Paul. Do you feel like Denver makes a game of this at any point?
I think Denver starts out strong. They may even take the lead, and they may look like they're going to win, but, you know, it's just going to pan out how it has all year long. The Patriots, they're not going to change anything they've really been doing. I don't think they will, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may fall behind, but they'll pull it together. And, you know, one of the good things about falling behind a lot this year and coming back is that in the postseason, they know they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a psychological edge they got on a lot of teams, and I think that they'll find a way around it. Brady he's too experienced not to, so I don't see how Denver can really hold the game for 60 minutes. It just isn't going to happen.
Well, I think, you know, reasonable people can certainly disagree, but I also think that reasonable people have to realize that, you know, this kind of adds up in New England's favor. First of all, you know, if you just look at it strictly from a personnel point of view, I mean, Eric Decker has got a sprained MCL, so he's not going to go. I don't even know if Tim Tebow can find Eddie Royal, much less, you know, him, you know, do any damage.
Thomas is another guy, but I didn't even hear about him until last week. He scored that touchdown and.
Well,
he's done all season, though.
I think. Well, he's done pretty well. I just think that Demaryius Thomas is. This is going to be a situation where the Patriots can afford, you know, to double up on him and make somebody else beat them. Right. You know, and I just, you know, I think Denver is going to do exactly what they tried to do the first game, and I think they're going to try to jam the ball, you know, on the Patriots. And I think Willis McGahee certainly had a good opportunity running the ball, and I think
right.
they'll have an opportunity to do that again.
I hope
the Patriots will, you know, be ready for it. That's
well, one thing the Patriots got going for them they didn't have going for them in the last game is they got more guys back in this game.
Right.
I think that's going to help them on the defensive end. They're going to have a hard time running the ball as much as they did. I mean, they had, what, 250 yards running the last time?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, they had over 160 in the first quarter alone until they started
right.
turning the ball over. So, you know, the Patriots' opportunity here is that they need to stuff the run when Denver starts to run it. They also need to make sure that they don't get, overly greedy, sneak those cheap those safeties up like Pittsburgh did that burned them in the playoff game last week. They got to play balance. They got to keep the guys in front of them. I can certainly see a bend but don't break defensive philosophy. But they also have to, you know, they got to continue doing what they did a month ago against Denver. And the fact is, they got to strip the ball. They got to turn them over, and they have to also force a few three and outs. This is the situation.
Definitely.
It cries for the Patriots to take the ball, score first.
Exactly. I agree totally with that. I mean, if they win that toss, don't defer. They need to take the ball, run it down the field, get seven straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, just establish the sort of the momentum of the game.
Right.
Because they haven't been able to do that in several games. They've always been sort of come behind, like 21 points, 17 points is kind of like, I mean, it's nice to see, but, you know, you'd rather if they were up 21 points than have to make up 21 points.
Right. Absolutely.
So I think that they may fall behind again, just like traditionally throughout the whole season, but I think, you know, like they've been doing all year, they'll find a way to win. So, but I think they'll win convincingly in the end.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Paul,
thanks.
Hopefully we'll check in next week then, right?
All right, sir. Take care.
You got it. All right, Paul in Maryland, 508-298-0398. If you want to give us your thoughts, your most favorite athlete, your prediction for Saturday, and what's the score going to be? Tyler chimes in on Facebook. The Broncos need to thank Bayless for their hate. had he not just gone insane for Tebow and made so many of us sick of his praise over the so-so QB, I think a lot more of us might actually look at Tebow and admit he could be better than we thought. Instead, we just cringe at all of this media attention and just want to see him fail just to end the talk. I could not agree more, Tyler. That's exactly how I feel. I think you were just a little more succinct at saying it than I was. I'm ready for it to end. End the madness! Says, to keep the conversation interesting, I'll give you my favorite non-Patriot athlete. Favorite non-Patriot athlete. Okay. As a Georgia boy, I like the Braves catcher Brian McCann. He's a hell of a ball player, but never gets a big head about it. It's about going out there and doing your job for the sake of the team. I guess you could say he practices the Patriot way. Pretty cool. All right, I like that. I like that. By the way, Tyler, if you don't mind, because I didn't get a chance to read this message you sent me yesterday, but I'm going to read it right now just because I thought it was funny as hell. He said, and he sent this to me yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to use it before the show was over on Wednesday. He says, had a very interesting dream last night. I was driving down the road in my truck with myself in the driver's seat, and, of course, my girlfriend in the middle seat and you in the passenger seat. So I'm here with Tyler and his girlfriend.
That's an odd three-way.
All right, you're not kidding. All right, here we go. As we were going down one of the highways through my hometown, we came across a wreck, and a van flipped and hit the front of my vehicle. It hit in a way where it flipped completely over the truck and only slightly dented my bumper, but busted my windshield. I pulled us over as we saw two transfer trucks crashed into one another and took a look at the front of the vehicle and was relieved the damage was minimal. The three of us then decided to continue our journey on foot. Well, see, that's where we know it's a dream, because there's no friggin' way I'm ever going to do that. I'm waiting for AAA. Or something. You spotted a roadside food vendor and ran over and made a purchase. You came over to my girlfriend and asked if we wanted a blueberry. I then told you that you didn't buy blueberries. You bought a roasted chicken wrapped in blue aluminum foil. You responded with, I hate it when they do that to me. What is this? What were you smoking, dude? It caused you to dream like this. He says, I don't know what this dream means, but be wary of mischievous roadside fruit and poultry vendors. Okay. Well, you must have had something interesting for dinner before you went to bed, Tyler, but thanks for sharing anyway. I appreciate that. Awesome. Totally awesome. Was it chicken or a blueberry? That's what I want to know. I have to know the answer to that. I think you're going to have to go back to sleep, and you're going to have to revisit the damn dream. That's all there is to it. Wow. All right, good stuff. Timothy says, living in Colorado, I am surrounded by Tebow hell. I am so sick of hearing about Tebow. I can't even listen to the radio, music radio, not talk shows, not sports talk, just plain old radio without hearing about Tebow. It's sickening. The Broncos scare me for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe I've been brainwashed by these maniacs. 13.5-point favorites is a big spread. But I think if any team can cover it, this team can. I think Denver will lead 17-3 at halftime. Yikes. If that happens, believe me, I think there'll be some people ready to jump off the bridge at the stadium here. But then he says, BB will fire the team up and the Patriots will come back 45-17 by the end of the game. And he says, as far as favorite athletes go, Wes Welker, Dustin Pedroia, Paul Pierce, and Zdeno Chara. Nothing like going for the hometown guys right there in Boston, right? Good stuff, though. Thank you, Timothy. Our friend Tim chimes in as well. Flavor of the month is right. Though I think the chances of him kicking around in the NFL for a dozen years is probably quite unlikely. The man can't even throw a consistent spiral. He had a great college career, so what? Dozens of other kids do and never make it. He was a first rounder, big deal, many others who crash and burn. Denver had to build an entire offense that he could run. Yeah, the kid is tough. A great leader, etc. But playing the way he does, it's only a matter of time before he does get hurt. Then what happens? Brady Quinn can't run the read option, so what's their plan? Get another Tebow clone back up in the offseason? You can't have a backup who can't execute your offense, or you end up like Indy. Take away his religion, and he would be an also-ran, no different to Pat White, another college star who couldn't play quarterback in the pros. You know, that's a great analogy. I realize Pat White, who was a star at running a zone read option at West Virginia, and I got to see quite a bit with all my coverage in the Big East, and then Miami took him, and they wanted him to come in and run the Wildcat and some other types of, specialty things at Miami, and it never panned out. And I'd say for two reasons it probably didn't pan out. Number one, physical. Pat White was a little bit slight in terms of his build. Certainly faster, I think, but I just don't think he was as physically strong, and I think that's what gets Tebow by a lot now is his physical strength. He's a big dude. That's number one. Number two, I don't think Miami ever really committed to White. I mean, White's in there for what, 3, 4, 5 plays a game? And when teams started to catch on to Miami running the Wildcat, I actually think Pat White was unfairly blamed. I mean, did he play well? No, when he was in there, but I think you got to give the guy a little bit more of a chance. Just my own thoughts. I don't know that means Pat White's going to be a great NFL quarterback. I'm not saying that. But I think, you know, it's hard to ask anybody to come in when you're really, you know, not a great quarterback to begin with, to only have 3 or 4 plays, and teams are already starting to get a read on you defensively, then you're barking up the wrong tree here. Anyway, Tim says, Pats win comfortably. Spikes and Chung returning will shut McGahee down, and if they can't run, they won't win. Yeah, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think, you know, they certainly have to run the football and have to run it with some authority. I don't know that they have to run it for 160 yards in the first quarter like they did, you know, last time out. But, you know, I think they have to be stout with it. I think they got to chew up the clock with it. And still, if I'm Denver, my game plan is I'm keeping the ball out of, New England's offense's hands. I'm keeping the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. And that means I'm trying to work the clock. I'm trying to run for first downs. I'm trying to move the chains. I'm working on 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 play drives. So I'm also looking at, maybe swing screens. I'm looking at bubble screens. I'm looking to, just swing it out of the backfield. I'm looking at pitch outs. I'm doing whatever I can to try to get it back on an edge against the Patriots defense. And, yeah, I'm going to use McGahee to pound that middle like it's never been pounded before. Ismar says, since it's Tebow week and knowing how Belichick and Josh McDaniels feel about Tebow as a football player and knowing that his future in Denver is limited, what are the chances that Tebow's next team after the Broncos will be the Patriots? Whoa. Really? I'd say right now slim and none, and slim is on his way out of town. And I'm only saying that because I really think that, the Patriots have, at least still, in their estimation, they've got a guy that they feel can play quarterback. I mean, you got Ryan Mallett, you know, who everybody seems to be forgetting about, who certainly seems to have the physical tools, threw for an awful lot of yards at the University of Arkansas. And the thought process was that if, you know, something happened to Brady or whatever, that, you know, Mallett would certainly be given a chance, maybe even more so than Hoyer. And I'm not taking anything away from Brian Hoyer. Don't start on me here. But physical tools are apparent. And I know that Josh McDaniels, you know, he drafted Tebow in the first round, so you know how he feels about him. Bill Belichick thinks, you know, the world of him as well. I can't see Tebow coming here to play quarterback. Now, you know, if Tim Tebow, you know, if it doesn't work out in Denver, and ultimately I think that will be the case, but if it doesn't work out in Denver, and I don't know if it'll happen this year, but I think it eventually will happen. Got to realize this is just his second year in the pros, right? He's a virtual rookie anyway, based on his, you know, playing time up to this year in the NFL. I think it's entirely possible that, you know, he could go someplace else as a non-QB just to continue with his professional football career. It'll be an interesting offseason. Let's put it that way. Interesting offseason. Tim says, Tebow's next team, the Patriots? What would be the point? We already have two good tight ends. Well, precisely. Precisely. You really think he's going to play beyond Gronkowski or Hernandez? You're going to bring Tebow in to be a third tight end or an H-back? Frankly, that's what I thought he would end up making in the pros anyway, is an H-back type. Maybe it could happen. I don't know. You really want to put Tebow in there as a blocking back, as a fullback? I don't know. Derek, University of Arizona. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rook. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy.
I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
Well, when do classes start?
Classes have been going on, man.
Already?
This morning.
Oh,
yeah. I started up Wednesday here yesterday.
Oh, well. So. All right. Well, you're back at the long haul. Good for you.
I am. I'm on break right now. I got a couple hours to kill, so I figured I'd check out the show as usual.
You're the man.
How's everything going?
It's going well. We're ready to get rid of all this Tebow crap and move on.
Man, I'll tell you about ever since I visited the studio on the 29th of December. I mean, a ton has happened since then. I mean, really.
I think you dropped that in so people go back through the archives and listen to the show, right?
Oh, no. I mean, if you want to, it's December 29th, 2011.
There you go. There you go.
No, man, it was a good time, though. I really, really had a good time out visiting, as always. And
good.
You know, but really, I'll tell you, there's just just been so much going on between McDaniels and, also this Tebow stuff. And I can't believe, last time we talked about who we'd want to play. And, it would have been, we were all kind of hoping, Broncos were a team that we obviously all wanted to face. But it happened. Mile-high miracle, indeed.
It happened, and I'm almost sorry it did now.
Yeah, I know. Well, you get the it's a blessing and a curse because, you got, obviously, the Broncos are one of the more favorable opponents, and then, of course, the curse would be you have to listen to all this crap on ESPN. And
well, the whole country should be rooting for the Patriots so we can end all this Tebow stuff.
It's actually really funny because I have, especially out here, a lot of people are Patriots haters. And one of my best friends, he just hates Patriots. But it's almost like the hatred for Tebow has actually overcome the hatred for the Patriots. So there's going to be a lot of support for New England, I think, this weekend. But
well, I hope so. So what do you think about the game? What give me your thoughts on the game?
Well, for one, I wanted to see how you would think. How would you attack Tebow? In particular, I think. They need to attack, just definitely attack the option, just really get after him and force him to make a decision quickly,
right.
Whether it's pitching the ball or, when he's running it,
right.
or whether he's going to throw it downfield and almost try to make him throw, intermediate routes, because he can throw the deep ball, or it seems like he has pretty good success with that three times a game or so, and
right.
And as long as you limit long passes, and you just make him throw those middle ones that he seems to struggle with most,
right.
It looks like maybe you can have some success there.
Okay, I'll buy that.
You know,
give me a score though. Get off the fence. Give me a score.
I'm thinking like 34-17.
Okay.
I think last time we talked about they won by 18. They rushed for 252 yards. But they turned the ball over four times. Well, I think even if the Broncos were to run, fairly successfully and not turn the ball over, I still think the Patriots would win, but it would be a ton closer. I just think, thanks to our friend Russell Baxter for throwing this stat out. When they last lost to the Giants, the Patriots, mm-hmm. turned the ball over four times, and since then, their 8-game winning streak, they've only turned the ball over three times.
Right.
So, they haven't turned the ball over, and I think that they're going to. I think they have a blueprint for how they're going to stop Tebow this time, and I think you could start close. The Broncos probably won't have the same type of success that they had in the first quarter as last time, but I think the Patriots will start flipping momentum and really just putting it to them, and I think it's going to be a comfortable win. So that's just my opinion.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Now, I asked a question, though, about favorite athletes. Are you surprised that Tebow is apparently, according to the four-letter network, that Tebow is apparently America's favorite athlete?
I am kind of surprised by that. I actually didn't hear the question, so I'm a little caught off guard.
Well, it's not so much a question as it was that ESPN has said, they put out their sports poll and says that Tebow in their polling is now America's most favorite athlete.
Well, I guess I would be a little bit surprised because it seems like a lot more people are annoyed and make fun of it.
Exactly.
More than
right.
Like it.
So how does that,
So I don't know.
Yeah, how does that make him a favorite athlete? I think people make fun of the guy. I think they goof on the guy. But at the same time, though, here's a guy whose name seems to be on the tip of everybody's tongue. Does that make him a favorite?
I guess. I mean, maybe they're confusing most favorite with most talked about. But I know there was the Tebowing, you know, picture. It's been flying around the social media and things like that. But, you know, I mean, to me, what's most annoying about the situation is whether it's just like, it seems to be you either have to love him or you hate him. And I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, I kind of am rooting for him just because, I mean, obviously not this week, just because, you know, I don't know, a lot of people seem just to not give him a chance. But at the same time, it's like, I want him to do bad when I just, you know, I see him do some things that I think are almost, what's the word I'm looking for? I think maybe he kind of exaggerates certain things.
I think you touched on a very good point, Derek. Here's the thing. Even though Tim Tebow is a highly acclaimed athlete, he had an unbelievable collegiate career. He was a number one draft pick. Because he is not shy about being out there with his religious beliefs, people tend to look at him as the underdog. They tend to look at him as David to everybody else being Goliath, which could not be further from the truth. He spent his entire athletic career being Goliath. He played at the University of Florida, for God's sake. He won a Heisman Trophy. So, you know, how is he the underdog? But I think he's been able to do that, largely been able to do that, and this gets right to the point of the matter. He's been able to do that because you don't have athletes or public figures, even for that matter, in this country being that out there with their religious beliefs. It's so far from the norm that it's kind of like, oh, isn't that sweet? What a lovely boy. And so that makes him, yeah, but that automatically makes him an underdog because he is the anti, you know, in your face athlete, the anti Ray Lewis, the anti Bart Scott, the anti, bad guy, if you will, for lack of a better phrase. That makes him by proxy an underdog, even though that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about one of the best college athletes ever, in my opinion.
He could certainly be in the conversation for best college quarterback ever.
Yeah.
He could be in that conversation. That is not a stretch.
Yep. And, I don't know. I think he's improved a little bit. He certainly makes some passes sometimes that wow you. I think he was only 10 for 21 in this last game, but he had three or four passes that were really impressive. Especially on that overtime play, he hit Demaryius Thomas perfectly.
Well,
Demaryius, nice play after.
But in this day and age, though, of offenses being spread out and going four and five wide, I don't think just hitting one or two passes every so often is going to get it done.
Oh, it's not. I wasn't trying to say that. I was just saying that I think he has passes sometimes that you see and you're like, okay. But then his throwing motion is still really wrong. He's picking up his back foot which just looks ridiculous.
Right.
And obviously, his arm motion and things like that. I'm not going to break down the mechanics, really, but like you said, the offense plays a factor into it. And maybe give him an off season, a full off season, see how he does next year. Devin Elway's found himself in a really interesting position, so that'd be curious to watch.
Yeah.
In the off season,
I agree with that 110%. I mean,
it'd be interesting.
Let's see if Elway works with him, or if he decides, you know what. Depends a lot of it, I think, on this weekend. They win this weekend, I don't know how they can make a switch at quarterback. I don't know how. If they get to the AFC Championship game, I don't know how they can make the switch.
It'd be interesting to see if they were to win. That would mean I can't even begin to just fathom what would happen to Patriots Nation and just really what the Patriots would do if they were to lose another game. And I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I think they're ready. I think they're healthy. And I think they will win this game, and hopefully the Texans and the Ravens can beat the crap out of each other.
All right. The other question I had today, Derek, was if not Tim Tebow or somebody else, who is your most favorite athlete?
If I was to go,
you can go any sport; it doesn't matter.
Any sport. I'm going to stick away from the Boston teams, because obviously I do favor those. Chris Paul is one of my favorite athletes. Nnamdi Asamoah is one of my favorite athletes. I just like him on and off, like the field and the court. I don't know.
Okay.
If I was to pick one, I just like the way they carry themselves and how they play the game. I don't know. Larry Fitzgerald is a really great person. I've met him a couple times, and he's pretty cool. I'd probably go with one of those guys.
Okay. So that's good.
But I have one question for you before you go.
Shoot.
This is completely. Well, it's actually a two-part question. It's half related to the game. Do you think McDaniels is, you know, do you think it was a good idea having him on, you know, being there at the game, bringing him back? And my other part is, you know, who do you see next year benefiting from McDaniels being the offensive coordinator, and who do you see it hurting the most?
Well, I think it's a good move. I think it's a no-brainer to bring him back if he wanted to be back, and obviously he did.
I agree.
You've got to replace Bill O'Brien, so I think it's excellent, and there's certainly familiarity there with Tom Brady. I can't see where there's any downside, to be quite honest with you, other than the fact that, well, you know, he's here to also rehab his coaching career. He wants to be a head coach again. Patriots have some success.
And there's a lot of talk about him maybe, you know.
Possibly,
you know,
replacing.
Bill,
yeah.
You know,
and you know what? Frankly, I could see that because I know the Crafts really like Josh. So
yeah.
I could see that happening on down the road, but I think we all realize that coaches in waiting don't generally work. So it may very well be he sticks around with the unwritten sort of underlying message there. Well, you can certainly have a great opportunity here if you manage to stick around without him being the quote-unquote named coach in waiting. Now, as far as helping, I think that he can certainly help a guy like Ryan Mallett. You know, because he's helped Brady, and Tom Brady has said that. Hurting somebody? I don't know that it hurts anybody. I really don't.
I was talking to Moore in terms of, well, first of all, I completely agree with everything you said, but I was talking more in terms of scheme-wise. You know, I know it'd be interesting really for me is the tight end position for next year, because, you know, there are a ton of variables, who they're going to bring back, who they could bring in a free agency, and who they could draft.
Well, Patriots are still going to stay. They have to stay committed, Derek, to the tight end. And I realize they didn't utilize it a lot when Josh was here before, but that's because they had a tight end who couldn't catch the ball.
No, yeah, definitely. It's Ben Watson or Rob Gronkowski could be.
Well, Ben,
you
got to remember, Ben Watson was a pretty good athlete himself, but you know, dude just couldn't catch like Gronk can.
He had stones for hands.
Right. So, and again, I'm not telling you, I mean, he's a nice guy, good athlete. Right. He couldn't catch. But if you got two guys like that who are horses that can catch and run, come on. You don't think an offensive coordinator is going to see that?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure. I have faith in McDaniels to, you know, I mean, since Bill O'Brien left, I think that was a good move bringing him back. And I'm glad they did it. And really, just because we touched on the tight ends, you know, I think they're going to have to be a big factor this week. Because I think you definitely want to attack the middle of the field or Denver, you know, and just try to, especially quickly, if, you know, Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil are flying off the ends and, you know, the safety, Brian Dawkins is out, I'm pretty sure. Their safeties aren't as strong, you know, especially he makes a pretty big difference for that young secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, young safeties, I mean, not the veteran corners on the outside, but I think the tight ends are going to be huge this week.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Be a big part of it.
But anyway, I'm thinking 34-17-ish, you know, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you probably next week about the win.
Very good, brother.
All right. Tell Russell I said hi.
I will do that.
When he calls in.
I'll do that.
Have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Derek at the University of Arizona, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, if you want to jump in as well. Here is Sean's take via Facebook. I think the Patriots will be motivated themselves this weekend after losing their playoff games to the Ravens and the Jets the last two seasons. On paper, the Patriots should win 59-0, but I think the final score will be like 40-16. Either way, win, lose, or draw, it'll be a perfect season in my book. Only made better if the Patriots get a chance to beat down the Ravens next weekend. You know, Sean, I'm glad you brought that up, because the other question I had today was, and I didn't really get to it because of the whole, you know, most favorite athlete thing that ESPN stuck on us today, but I was going to ask, if they lose this weekend, is this season a success for you? Think about it now. Think about it very, very carefully. If the Patriots somehow lose this weekend, and so now they've got the distaste of an upset loss to a team that seems to be charmed right now with a guy like Tebow at quarterback. And that makes it three straight years that they can't get out of their first playoff game. Is this season still a success? I don't know what your expectations were before the year began. I would tell you that, you know, a lot of people said, and I know many of you said it yourselves, that if the Patriots did not win a playoff game this year, there's no way the season could be a success. I think several of you thought that. I think I may have even said that as well. Frankly, I kind of tend to believe that. At this stage of the game, if the Patriots don't win a playoff game, yeah, I'd have to say that it would be difficult to label this season a complete success. I think that strides would have been made. I think overall defensively, there would have been some steps going backwards. But I think you certainly made some strides back forwards to the way this team was in 2007, certainly from an offensive perspective. And you saw the development of maybe the best tight end of the game in Rob Gronkowski. But I'd have to say that, yeah, unless you win a playoff game, that sure, I could understand why you consider this season not quite the success that we had all hoped that it might be. Big E, where you been?
Hi, JR.
What's happening? How was locker room?
We've been, well, it's actually still going on. We're being held captive by Gerard Mayo.
Really? What's he got to say?
And well, we don't know. We're waiting for him to show
up. You're waiting for him to show up?
They've extended the locker room period an extra 25 minutes, almost half an hour for this guy. And I'm not going to wait around to hear him say nothing. So I left.
Okay.
I wanted to get to you right before the end of the...
You're the man.
2 o'clock hour here.
Anything to report at practice today?
Perfect attendance. Kyle Love came back after missing yesterday.
Good news.
He talked a little bit to us in the locker room, too, and had a couple of interesting things to say. Didn't want to go into the reasons for why he wasn't here. Wasn't injury-related, though, so it has to be sort of an off-field kind of personal thing, which have to respect that from him.
Sure.
But was asked by one of the Denver people who are out here if he's sick of all the Tebow talk, and got to applaud him for his candor. He said, yeah, you know what? I am kind of getting a little tired of it and kind of using it as motivation for
this
weekend.
Who said this again?
Kyle Love.
Love. Okay, good.
Refreshing to hear some truth actually being spoken by a player.
And not just coach speak.
Not just the standard coach speak, company line kind of nonsense.
Right. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about today. I mean, you know, ESPN putting out there, you know, Tebow is now America's most favorite athlete.
Yeah, with 3% of the vote.
Yeah, and but it's just, it's kind of like gone over my head now. I'm full of it. I've had too much. I'm ready for it to stop now. It's like Chinese water torture, you know. I'm ready. I'm ready for this to be over.
One other interesting thing Love said, too, was he's never seen this team as good as it is this week.
Really?
Strong comment.
That is a strong comment.
And at practice, well, going back to Bill's press conference today, he seemed very much in a good mood, very upbeat. And I've seen that happen on a few occasions in his last press conference of the week before a big game. And more often than not, I'm not tracking this kind of stuff, but just from what I can recall, they've been very successful on weeks when they've had that sort of approach. And out at the practice field today, the whole team was sort of in that very loose, kind of confident, fun-loving feel. And I think that bodes well for them this weekend.
All right. So I know you told the PFW guys your pick. Let's hear it.
I did. I like Tim Tebow. I think he's a good kid. I think he's authentic. And I wish him much success as he continues to develop into a legitimate NFL quarterback. His season's going to come to an end this Saturday, though. Patriots are going to win the game.
Score?
It's going to be close. It's not going to be the blowout that a lot of people expect. It's not going to be by 13.5 points like the spread is, because I just don't have faith in the defense to maintain a lead, to hold a lead, the Patriots' defense. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll surrender enough points to make it close enough that it'll be, you know, some tension there at the end. But I think the Patriots win 30-20.
30-20.
Yeah.
Okay. And if not Tim Tebow, who is your most favorite athlete? And it doesn't have to be a pro football player. It can be anybody.
Boy, I'm really kind of past that. I don't really have a favorite athlete anymore. Just because from working so closely in the professional sports realm, you come to see what a lot of these guys really are like. And you know, it's hard to root for a player nowadays. Just
you look jaded.
I am a little bit, I guess. But I don't know if I really have a favorite athlete. That's a good question.
Okay.
Do you have one?
I had to give it some thought because I was going to ask it today. I don't have one that really stands out, but one that I think seems to represent what I would hope that my own son would be in terms of, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he competes on the field, all that kind of stuff. Robert Griffin III, to be quite honest with you, RG3. Mm. I think he's a pleasant young man. I think he's an outstanding athlete. Mm-hmm. I think he's a stand-up guy. I think he really wanted to come back to Baylor, but saw that it just really didn't make much sense, especially as he's losing a lot of his help.
He's also got his degree.
And he's got his degree.
So it's not like he's leaving
school. No.
He's leaving the football program early. He's not leaving school early.
No, that's right. Well, he has a year of eligibility left because he took an injury redshirt
year,
you know, when he tore up his leg. And that's another thing. I mean, here's a guy that bounced back in a big way.
Oh, huge.
Great comeback, right? And won the Heisman.
That's about as big a comeback as you can get.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, right now, he would be a favorite athlete of mine anyway. I admire that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so far, he hasn't given me any reason to be jaded.
No, there are certainly players who I admire for things that they do on and off the field.
Right.
I don't know if it's, you know, like when I was a kid, I had Larry Bird's poster on my wall. He was probably my favorite athlete as a kid.
Dude, when I was a kid, I had Cheryl Teagues' poster on my wall.
She's not an athlete. Yes, she was in Sports Illustrated, but it wasn't for her athleticism. It was for something else that begins with an A, but not athleticism.
Well, she looked pretty athletic to me. I don't know about you.
I didn't say she wasn't athletic.
Oh, okay.
Sure, she's very limber.
Okay, we don't have to go there now. Don't burst my bubble.
But, no, there are no athletes whose poster I would put on my wall nowadays.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of get that. I get that. I'm glad that my kids don't have that either. You know, they're kind of close to it because their dad works in it, so I would agree with that. But I think there are some athletes that, you know, some kids should look up to, and rightfully so,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, the athletes themselves are up on a pedestal. You know, and I guess it's okay for Tebow to be America's most favorite, but I can't help but think that a lot of this is overblown simply because the media, in particular, the four-letter network, they keep throwing stuff up on the wall and hoping that it sticks. And I think that's what they did with this poll. That's how I kind of opened the show today, so. Anywho.
What kind of reaction are you getting from it?
I've got a jillion emails here that I haven't gotten to. Literally a jillion, I think. So I've got to get to a bunch of them to talk about that. So I'm going to get to that. I've been reading Facebook posts, and I'm going to continue to do that in hour number two. And we also have Russell to get
to. Well, I'll let you get to it then. I just wanted to come in. I promised you my prediction. There it is.
And you did. Thank you.
And I will see you Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I won't.
No,
you'll be in Syracuse.
I'll be in Syracuse, but I'll be thinking
about
you.
Right, you'll be at Mary Beth's. I mean... at the carrier dome.
Wow.
Just kidding, man.
Thanks so much for that.
She offered.
I know she did. She
like
totally offered.
The place.
Come on by. Watch the game. Come on by. Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. That's right. Well, God willing, then, we'll be back here next week. Because if Denver wins, I'm done.
Yeah, I know.
And it's off-season mode next week.
Well, we would do a wrap-up show like we did last year.
Did we do a wrap-up show
last year? We did do a wrap-up show last year.
We did?
Yes, we did.
All right, then I guess we'll have to do a wrap-up then.
Okay. Yeah, we have to do one more. There's at least one more playbook left.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully there's more than that.
There's going to be more.
All right.
There will be more.
But it would be next Wednesday anyway because we'd be on a Sunday mode, right?
Well, you wouldn't have a Tuesday?
I would have a Tuesday, but you wouldn't be
here.
Oh,
I wouldn't be
Tuesday.
Here. Yeah, so you'd have to do it on Wednesday.
Right.
Well, I might be here on Tuesday because then we'd be in off-season mode, and I'd be back to Monday through Friday.
All right, brother. Next week it is.
Well, but don't worry. They're going to win, so you're going to have a regular week.
As long as you say so.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Eric says so. All right, let's get a break in here, and then we're going to come back and read emails. We've still got phone calls to take. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com. Continue to pummel the Facebook page as well. And Russell Baxter looking at divisional playoffs, all coming up in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Right, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide sea pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, and that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook for a Thursday for the Pats and the Broncos on Saturday. Let me get some emails in here. Brian says in Vermont, it's the NFL cashing in on a ratings holy grail, talking about the Tebow phenomenon. If Tebow weren't such a vocal God squatter, nobody would really care. But because his faith is such an integral part of his life, and he unabashedly proclaims that faith and any opportunity, that's a whole new demographic of people who are now rooting for him, and they may not even be actual football fans, simply people of faith who see a polarizing figure they can rally behind. I'm not trashing Tebow or anything. I just don't think he's developed enough as an NFL quarterback to be really to really be given as much spotlight as he's gotten. And the only answer is his faith. In the long run, Tebow may very well succeed. Who knows? But right now, he doesn't deserve the adoration and attention that's being showered on him. As long as the Patriots keep their focus and don't play arrogantly, they have this game locked. The Broncos simply do not have enough to cover all of Brady's options. BB and company have shown they can adapt the defense to counter whatever the offense tries. That's what we've seen already. That was what the Patriots did that was missing several key players. This should only be an improvement upon the Patriots' previous performance against Denver in December. The only people who can beat the Pats in this game are the Pats. Brian in Vermont. That's an excellent, excellent email. Gene in Daytona. I did not know who to root for in the Pittsburgh-Denver game. I said I do not want to face Pittsburgh or hear about Tim Tebow for another week. I was actually ended up rooting for Denver. Now I'm sorry I did. Whoever thought the game would become secondary? Well, I think the game long ago became secondary. So let's turn to a primary. Russell S. Baxter, our one and only pro football guru on profootballguru.com. Russell, I got a couple of numbers I want to throw out at you, and I know you've probably heard these, but I want your thoughts at least initially. Number one, with a win on Saturday, Brady would join Joe Montana as the only quarterbacks with 15 postseason wins. He's currently tied with Terry Bradshaw and John Elway for second. However, if the Patriots lose, Brady becomes just the fifth quarterback in NFL history to lose four straight postseason games. The infamous Dave Craig holds the record at five. Any thoughts as to those numbers or any significance tied into this game yet?
Well, you know, just as in the case many times, and by the way, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Same
and,
to you.
More importantly, I'm really kind of disappointed we don't have any game show to handle this week.
I know.
Okay? I didn't know if we were going to, you know, shoot for the match game or to tell the truth. Let's make a deal.
Well, you know,
John, I'll date you.
Okay.
Hopefully, there used to be a kids game show in the morning called Shenanigans. Do you remember that game show?
Yeah, I sure
with
do.
Shecky Green?
Yes, Shecky Green. Good Lord, yeah.
Okay. I won't do that anymore.
Thank you.
back to your number. You know what? You know, when you said that, do you know whose name popped into my head?
No.
When you just said this, and I hope this comes out the right way. Marty Schottenheimer.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I say it for this reason, because Marty, who I got to know, you know, working at ESPN and so on, and just an outstanding human being and a great football coach, and more is said about what he didn't do rather than what he did do. But, you know, obviously his playoff record always came into being about how many times he's lost in the playoffs. And my counter to that was there's only one way to lose that many times in the playoffs, and that's get to the playoffs. And that's what you see with Tom Brady, his amazing success and the success that him and Coach Belichick have had together. And when you start getting into these realms of tying Joe Montana, or even the negative realms, okay? And that's not to harp on the bad things, but you have to be in a position to do these things. And that's what the Patriots are. They are continuously in a position to do this. Since 2001, the 11-year span, they've been in the playoffs nine times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they missed in 02, and they missed inexplicably in 08 when they were 11-5, and of course Tom Brady was hurt. They've had 11 straight winning seasons, which, by the way, is one of the longest streaks in the history of the NFL. So when I hear those, it shows to me the consistency and the longevity and the excellence of this organization. And I always like to, you know, I've gotten into this argument with many people before about the dynasty of the New England Patriots. And I was one of those people, and you and I have had this discussion on the air, of when they won those three Super Bowls in 4 years, that I wasn't so fast to slap the word dynasty on them because they did miss the playoffs in 02.
Right.
But the fact that they have been a contender year in and year out over and over again, that's what makes a dynasty. Okay? They are the number one seed in the AFC for the second consecutive year. It's not something that's happened in the AFC in 20 years. You have to go back to the 1990 and 91 Buffalo Bills to see an AFC team be the number one seed in consecutive years. That to me is dynastic. Yeah, the Niners dynasty of the early 80s stretching into the late 90s. That's a dynasty. The Steelers winning not only the four Super Bowls in 6 years, but being in the playoffs eight straight years. That's what evokes dynasty. And to me, in some ways, I still think the Patriot dynasty is alive and well.
Interesting. You know, and I think a lot of Patriot fans would certainly agree with you where that's concerned. If they, I'll ask you the question that I kind of asked, and I really kind of got off on the Tebow thing again today a little bit just because of what they were,
Who?
Just because of what the four-letter network did calling America's most favorite athlete today. But is this season a failure? Or better yet, is this season still a success if the Patriots lose Saturday?
I think you win 13 games, it's a success. Okay? We seem to put different standards on different. Now, let me ask you this. If you're the Cleveland Browns and you go 8-8, that season a success, even though you don't make the playoffs? I think it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I don't think people would say it's a success. It depends on what your expectations are. Okay? But it's an unrealistic expectation to think you're going to win the Super Bowl every year. And that's what happens with the better teams in the league that we're so, we like to slap the word failure on the teams that are continuously good, just because there's such a love-hate relationship with the great teams. You know that as well as anyone.
Sure.
As many people who love the Dallas Cowboys don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Same thing with New England. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Okay. Same thing with, to a degree, the Colts and Peyton Manning and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing back in the day when it was the Dolphins and the Raiders. Same thing in the other sports. As many Yankee fans I know there are, Yankee detractors. Okay? So no team's ever won three straight Super Bowls. So how can you be expected to win the Super Bowl every year when no one's ever done it three times in a row?
Yeah.
In the 92 now year history of the National Football League, the longest run of championships is three. The 1929-31 Packers, that was before there were playoff games, John.
Right.
And then from 65 to 67, the Packers won the NFL title three times in a row and capped off the last 2 years by winning the first two Super Bowls. That's it. This isn't, six titles in a row. It's not UCLA Bruins in basketball. It's not the Yankees winning five World Series in a row or the Islanders in hockey or the Montreal Canadiens. Pro football does not lend itself to long stretches of winning championships, maybe long stretches of excellence. So to expect a team to win the Super Bowl every year is just flat out unrealistic. So now, given what the Patriots have accomplished this year, and I think they accomplished some things probably offensively, but obviously not defensively. They obviously have still some work to do here.
Mm-hmm.
I think depending on how they play on Saturday, I think it's not even a matter of winning or losing. I think it depends on how they go out. Now, at the middle of the year when they were 5-3, safe to say the detractors were all over the place. But now they're riding an 8-game winning streak, and suddenly they look like the favorite, at the very least, to get back to the Super Bowl in the AFC.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good assessment. I would have to agree with you. I think 13-3, at least on paper, would have to be considered certainly a successful year. But I think because of the fact that this team, has lost their last three playoff games, and I'm counting the Super Bowl loss, obviously, as one of those.
Well,
they've lost the last two at home.
Yes.
They've lost the last two at home, certainly, and this would be three straight at home. I could certainly also make a case for fans being upset with that and saying that this season is a failure.
Well, I think there's two different things working there, John. I think that the degree of people being disappointed and the season being a failure is probably two different things. I mean, let's be realistic. Who do you think is the best team in the NFL right now? It's just your opinion.
Oh, wow. Honestly, I guess I'd probably have to still side with Green Bay, but only slightly because I think New Orleans is hot on their tail.
I don't disagree with you. I'm a big believer in the champions and dethroned mantra.
Me too. Me too.
Okay, I'm a big believer in that.
Me too.
But, common logic will tell you and factual will tell you that only one team allowed to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, I know that sounds so cliche. Oh, 31 teams are going to be disappointed and all that. But the bottom line is who would be a bigger disappointment? New England not winning the Super Bowl or Green Bay not winning the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Green Bay Packers are 15-1.
Right.
And that's only the sixth time in the history of this league that a team has won at least 15 regular season games.
Right, right.
Now, I don't want to bring up the fact that the last three times it was done didn't result in the Super Bowl championship. Obviously, the Patriots in 07, but both the 1998 Vikings and the 2004 Steelers, which, of course, were dethroned by the Patriots, they didn't even get to the Super Bowl going 15-1. So the other two teams, by the way, if you're keeping score at home, the 84 49ers and the 85 Bears, both with 15-1 in back-to-back years, obviously, and they both won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, who is going? Somebody's going to be disappointed. There's going to be a bunch of disappointments because we have four teams in this league that won 13 games or more,
right?
Which is the most in the league since 2007, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that year, none of those four teams won the Super Bowl either. It was the 10-6 Giants.
Wow, how about that? That's good stuff. All right, Russell, I'm going to share with everybody one of your Thursday teasers that you have on your website, profootballguru.com. But there were an NFL record 121 300-yard passing performances this past season. Just under a third of those were compiled by four of the eight quarterbacks playing this weekend. Drew Brees had 13, Brady had 11, Rodgers had 8, Manning for the Giants had 8, all of whom have not only won at least a championship, but all are also former Super Bowl MVPs. What does this say, then, about the success of, you know, these four teams or their respective teams moving on this week, or does it speak to any of that, do you think?
Well, we know that all four of them aren't moving on this week because two of them are going
ahead. Have
to
go ahead, yes, when you have Manning and Wright. Yeah, exactly.
We also know that three of them are going to end the season disappointed, as we just said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been an astounding year, as you know, with these passing numbers. And, you know, one of the guys who was eliminated last week was obviously Matthew Stafford, who, you know, had a quaint 5,000-plus yards and 41 touchdown passes. Not shabby at all. Got his team to the playoffs for the first time since 1999
mm-hmm.
and put 28 points on the board last week.
Right.
Only fell 17 short against the Saints, who have now scored 42, 45, 45, and 45 in their last four games. So what I think we're going to see more than anything else this weekend is there are a handful of, I guess what we like to call the irresistible force meets the immovable object game.
Right.
And there's no better example of one than in San Francisco, which is the first game of the playoffs this weekend, when the Saints, who, whether people accept it or not, are a different football team, not only away from the dome, but more so outside in the elements than they are when they play in the Superdome or indoors in particular.
Mm-hmm. 49ers, are they the best defensive team left in the Derby, or does Baltimore get that nod?
I lean toward the 49ers.
Okay.
Okay? The one thing, odd fact, I don't know how odd it is. The Niners were the only team in the league this year. Now, first off, they finished second in the league in points allowed. Okay, Pittsburgh at 227. The Niners got edged out because they gave up 27 to the Rams, of all teams. In the final week of season, they only gave up 229 points all year. In fact, how's this, John? The Saints, including last week, have scored 177 points, and their offense has produced 23 touchdowns in the last four games.
That's a pretty good clip.
The 49ers this season have given up 229 points and given up 23 offensive touchdowns in 16 games. That would be your classic.
Yeah.
Irresistible force.
Immovable object. Yep, right.
But I lean toward the Niners because I think, first off, their linebacking core is outstanding and it's deep. We just saw them play without Patrick Willis for about three or four games. And a young man named Larry Grant stepped in and did a great job. They have another inside linebacker named Navarro Bowman, who has been lights out for them this year. Alden Smith just missed the rookie sack record. And in who, in some people's mind, was maybe the defensive player of the year, Justin Smith, the former Cincinnati Bengal, has been out with San Francisco a number of years now. If I remember right, I believe he got all pro votes at not only defensive end, but defensive tackle. They have been so good. And a lot, and of course, the funny thing is, a lot of people will point to the fact that they play in the NFC West, okay? which, by the way, they were winning a lot of games before they even got to the NFC West part of their schedule this year. They wound up playing a lot of their divisional games late in the season. But they were the only team in this crazy league where we had 500 points by three teams. They were the only team in the league this year, John, that did not get 30 points scored in them on them in any one game this year.
Well, that might say something when you consider the offensive temperature in which the NFL now operates.
Right. Now, of course, the Saints scored 30 or more points 11 times. Again, irresistible force, immovable object. To me, you can't sell that first game any better. It's such a clash of styles. And, you know, so much has been written about, you know, Alex Smith and what he can't do. And, again, let's see what he has done. You know, the Niners, you well know this. Last year, the New England Patriots set an NFL record by committing only 10 turnovers all season. That record was equaled by the 49ers this year with 10 turnovers. And the Niners, in fact, have not turned over the ball in either any of their last five games. Meanwhile, the Saints don't do a great job of taking it away anyway. So, again, let's see what kind of heat the 49ers get on Drew Brees. You know, the Saints have played five games outdoors this year, and in three of them they scored less than 30 points. Okay, and I think in order to win this game, I think the Saints are going to probably need to win. I'm sorry, score 30 points.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with the fact that I think they'll have some difficulty getting there against the Niners defense.
Well, listen, they can bring the heat. Their secondary has two Pro Bowlers this year. You know, so much as they can give up a rushing touchdown the first 14 games of the year. But here, I'll throw out one more irresistible, immovable stat.
Okay.
The Saints, what people don't realize, they finished sixth in the year league in rushing this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have run four in their last four games, including the playoffs. They've run for 700 yards the last four games.
That's pretty significant.
75 a game.
That's pretty good.
The Niners all year have given up just over 1,200 yards rushing.
Wow.
Which is less than 80 yards a game.
Wow.
About 100-yard difference.
All right, so ultimately then, who do you like in this thing, Russell? The irresistible or the immovable?
I think I'm leaning toward the immovable.
Really? Because they're at home?
I got to preface anything I say here today with this. Amongst all the fun of last week's game shows,
yeah,
very inconveniently, you made me talk about football for the last half hour, okay? And I proceeded to declare that I felt that it was a good weekend that maybe all four road teams would win,
and they didn't.
And for the first time since 2006 in the first round of the playoffs, all four road teams lost.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you kind of...
I am a person of integrity and accuracy, okay? So I'm just throwing it out there because if you really are going to listen to who I think is going to win,
you're in trouble.
you might be better off just waiting till Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm leaning to, you know, I still think in this league that defense says something. There's something to be said for defense.
Okay.
And more so, I think there's something to be said for balance, and I think there's something to be said for, you know, lack of a better word, hitting the quarterback early and often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Drew Brees, who, by the way, has got a great offensive line with three Pro Bowlers on it, especially the guards, Pro Bowl guards and Carl Nix.
Nix, yeah.
And Jahari Evans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my consonants switched up there.
Right.
And Jermaine Bushrod, who was really a guy who struggled last year at tackle when he played, he wound up going to the Pro Bowl this year as well. So they've done a great job protecting him. But last week at times, you saw them get to Drew Brees. You saw Cliff Averill and Vanden Bosch and Dominican Sue put a lot of heat on him. You know, the problem with the Lions in that game last week is they got a couple turnovers from the Saints and didn't do anything with them. So,
gotcha.
Again, I think the Saints, who can turn over the football, I mean, it's not like Drew Brees won't throw a couple to the other team. Okay, he actually threw another one last week that was dropped. And the Atlanta game where he set the record, he had a couple interceptions dropped because they throw so much. They also have some really good guys in the backfield in terms of Ivory and Pierre Thomas. Well, how many tackles did he break last week?
Seemed like 100.
Yeah, I'm big on that Niners defense. I know a lot of people want to put Alex Smith in his place and say, you know, what is it, game manager. We've made game manager like a four-letter word in this country. But I think he manages to get a win here. And I like the Niners. I like the Niners' defense. Now, I will say this. If we get into it, if it's the Niners settling for three or four field goals, they're going to obviously be in trouble. And remember, that's been a problem for them this year.
Right.
You know, David Akers wound up kicking, what, 44 field goals, setting an NFL record?
Mm-hmm.
He tried 52 of them, John. 52 field goals attempted. That's a busy...
Busier.
The Rockettes don't kick that much. Okay?
Oh, you've been waiting to use that line.
No,
huh?
I actually haven't, but the you can never go wrong to make a Rockettes joke.
That's
when
true.
It comes to kicking. But my point is this. If David Akers kicks 8 field goals in this game, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means they've had the ball 8 times. And that means the Saints don't have the ball as often.
Right.
Okay? No NFL quarterback's ever thrown a touchdown pass from the sideline. Okay? That game plan always works. It's worked in 3 Super Bowls of keeping the other team on the sidelines. And if the Niners can achieve that with Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter and their running game and so on, and knock the ball loose from Drew Brees a couple of times and set up some short fields, I think that's what's going to happen. Again, the Saints have an awful lot of momentum. But for whatever reason, I know everybody wants to see that Saints-Packers rematch. I get the feeling that one or both teams aren't going to hold up their end of the bargain.
Okay. Let's do the other NFC game while we're talking about the NFC. Giants at the Packers. I think the Giants have a little bit more of a puncher's chance than you would normally figure in this one. I just like the way that the defense seems to be swarming the quarterback. Can they give Green Bay enough trouble here?
Well, the Packers are going to get some of their linemen back. I mean, Bulaga, Chad Clifton played in the season finale against the Lions when Rodgers didn't play.
Right.
And listen, we know Green Bay's in problems. You know, as much as we beat on the New England defense this year, Green Bay actually finished ranked lower than they did. But the difference is that you can throw the ball on Green Bay, but they also have a better than average shot of grabbing it from you. They, along with the Niners, led the NFL in takeaways with 38. The difference with Green Bay is 31 of their 38 were interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a very opportunistic team when it comes to that. They didn't get the sacks that they did last year, but they increased their takeaways. Remember, takeaways was a big part,
yes,
a big part of their Super Bowl run last year as well.
Right.
The Giants had did something last week that they had not done all year. First off, they ran for 172 yards, John, which was, are you ready for this? 50 more yards than their best total of the season.
Wow.
I mean, saying the Giants and the last-ranked running game just doesn't sound right. When you think of Tom Coughlin both in New York and Jacksonville, what do you think of? Good offensive lines, productive running games, balanced play action, you know, be it Mark Brunell in Jacksonville, be it Eli here in New York. That's what they did. But it's been a different team this year. But for the first time this year, the Giants have run for 100 yards in 3 straight games. Again, when you say it, you're like, wow, what's the big deal? Well, that's a big deal for the Giants this year. Again, we haven't seen the running game this year at all, and I think that's hurt their defense along with the injuries they have. Now, you already alluded to it. They can get after the quarterback.
Yep.
Tied with Baltimore for third with 48 sacks. Jason Pierre-Paul has had a monster year. But the one thing about Green Bay that stands out to me is they can just beat you in a lot of different ways, okay? They have 5 receivers / tight ends who caught at least 6 touchdown passes this year. They've got a 2-headed running game with Ryan Grant and James Starks. They have a quarterback who threw over 500 times this year and only turned over the ball 6 times, which was the 6 interceptions. As many times as Aaron Rodgers is sacked, he only fumbled 4 times and didn't lose a fumble. I mean, he's had, and he sat out the last game of the year, which is even more impressive. Plus, they also have some special teams who can get the job done, too. Randall Cobb, who returned a kickoff and a punt for a touchdown this year. Between their defense, John, and their special teams, they scored 7 more touchdowns. The Packers scored 70 touchdowns this year.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Patriots scored more in 2007.
Right.
560 points. Gee, that's easy. But I said that's 35 a game.
Yep.
And by the way, they average 40 points a game at home. A lot of people are drawing correlations to the Giants and the Patriots in 2007 and the upset of the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And one thing jumps out to me as being a major difference in that game. That game was played in Arizona on a neutral field. This game is being played in Lambeau Field, where the Packers have won their last 13 games. And Giants are playing better, but I just think Green Bay's a better team. And one more little piece of minor history. Aaron Rodgers has faced this Giants team twice within the last year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the start of their 19-game winning streak last year was coming off that loss to the Patriots and Aaron Rodgers lighting up the Giants at Lambeau Field by the score of 45-17. He has played them twice, like I said, this year and last year. Aaron Rodgers has thrown for 773 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 1 pick, and his team's put 83 points on the board. I think the Packers are 15-1 for a reason, and I think they'll be 16-1 by the end of Sunday night.
The other AFC game, the 1 o'clock Eastern Time game on Sunday, Texans at the Ravens. Doesn't really sound much like an old-school matchup, but even though both teams might play a little old-school brand of football, I was impressed with the Texans last week. Russell, I have to admit, I didn't think that emotion alone could carry them over the Bengals, and I know the Bengals had a lot to do with that last week, but I give the Texans credit for plugging guys into holes and getting the kind of performance that they did. Now, of course, the major question is can they do that against a Baltimore Ravens team that certainly seems to have the makings of a championship contender?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, so much made of end-of-season momentum. You know, remember Denver and Houston both went into last week's game riding 3-game losing streaks. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of that. They're both playing this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Houston, and I've been doing the show a number of years. Safe to say I've gone out and picked Houston a few times, maybe even one year for the Super Bowl. But I find it them so interesting this year because for the first time in a couple of years, they've so many times, for lack of a better word, John, squandered the opportunity to win that division. And this year they lost Mario Williams for 11 games. And they lost Andre Johnson for half the season. And they went with Matt Schaub getting hurt, and then Matt Leinart got hurt in the game that he replaced them. And now they're down their rookie T.J. Yates at quarterback. They couldn't get much more adversity in terms of on the field losing people, and yet they not only won the division, but they won their playoff game, and they were impressive last week. Arian Foster was lights out.
Yeah.
Ran hard, turning the corner, 153 yards, 188 by the team rushing. And you had to be impressed with their defense, which has been the big turnaround for them this year. You got to give Wade Phillips the nod. This was a team, how's this for a stat? The previous 3 years leading into this season, the Texans played 48 games and held 8 of their 48 opponents to 14 points or less. I wouldn't say that's a great percentage.
Right.
This year they played 17 games and held 10 opponents to 14 points or less. So they've really turned around. They set a club record for sacks this year. They upped their takeaways. They're hungry, they're aggressive, and the thing that strikes me about Baltimore, and we have seen them, you know, lay an egg at times, although they seem to play well against the good teams, but I'm wondering, they waited so long to get this home playoff game. Remember, this is Joe Flacco's 8th playoff start. It's his first at home. The Ravens are in the playoffs for the 4th straight year. By the way, that's the longest streak in the league now. The Colts streak was snapped.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think Baltimore's the better team here. I think they have more experience. I think they're primed, and dare I say, if they get past this game, I think they have an excellent chance to finally get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to get past this game.
Really? You think Texans might actually do it?
And I think Houston looks like a younger, fresher Baltimore. And I'm just not going to be surprised if the Texans go in there. And I think Arian Foster, I was just so impressed with him last week.
Yeah.
And, they go in now. The Baltimore team beat Houston earlier this year back in week 6, even with Matt Schaub.
Yep.
So it's not like they're not capable and so on. And again, they've been very battle tested as far as the playoffs go. You know, this John Harbaugh, Joe Flacco connection has done pretty well for itself. But I am, I'm leaning toward the Houston Texans in this game. You know, there's at times the Ravens, you know, we've seen them, and I know those games were on the road at Tennessee, at Jacksonville, at Seattle. They got blown out by San Diego late in the year out there. I'm just not going to be surprised that if Houston just wants it more, not that Baltimore wants it less, but Houston wants it a little more, and I'm leaning toward the Houston Texans in a little bit of a surprise.
Well, then that brings us full circle to our battle here Saturday night with the 8 o'clock Eastern Time kickoff and the Tebow phenomenon and whether or not it will finally meet its match and whether or not the Patriots can get off of their three-game playoff losing streak. Our own set of intriguing prospects here, but it would seem that most people feel like the Patriots will move on. Let's look at it this way. What's one thing you feel like the Broncos have to do to win? What's one thing that must happen for the Patriots to lose? And are they mutually exclusive?
Well, I think they're exclusive. I think it comes down to turnovers.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about it. Because I firmly believe that Denver was on its way to, you know, to beat New England a couple of weeks ago.
They were. The 16-7 first. I mean, yeah. How can you not say that? You absolutely can.
Yeah. They self-destructed in one quarter. That series of turnovers in the second quarter. And to be honest with you, even at the very first game, obviously you remember the game, Denver took the ball, ran the ball nine straight times and ran their way to a touchdown on the first series of the game, but missed the extra point. And I know that, you know, in an 18-point game now, you're like, well, what's the big deal? Well, but it is a big deal because momentum is such a big thing and flow is such a big thing. And then the Patriots, thanks to a big catch and run by Aaron Hernandez and then a long touchdown pass, in the blink of an eye, it was 7-6. Now, I know they extended the lead to 16-7. You know, they got a lot of big plays. I believe Denver in that game had eight plays of 20 or more yards, John, and five of them came in the first quarter.
Right.
So they really racked them. But then the series of turnovers that gave New England a short field in that second quarter, and the killer was the one where Quan Cosby dropped the ball
right
on the punt.
Yep.
And New England just ran onto the field, kicked a field goal, and all of a sudden it's 11.
Right.
And that changed the whole flow of the game. And that, I think, is a difference. New England, since their last loss, in which they committed four turnovers in that loss at home to the Giants, has committed three turnovers in eight games. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you'd have to say that that's taking care of things, sure.
Yeah, and I think when you're on the road, just like the Lions last week, they had their chances, okay? The Lions got a couple of fumbles, okay? They got a Colston fumble and they got a Drew Brees fumble, but they didn't do anything with it. And New England, when they got the turnovers in Denver three or four weeks ago, they did something with them. If you don't do anything with them, then you're they're squandered opportunities. And they suck the life out of you. And right. It turns out to be a sigh of relief for the other team. And I think that's what's going to need to happen. I don't think there's any question. I think Denver will be able to move the ball in New England because everyone else has. And they also showed that they can run it on Denver. And since New England has had its problems covering receivers deep, I think Denver will move on. Now, whether they translate that into points, I'm not sure. But one thing I did see with Denver in that last game is they showed no ability to stop New England whatsoever, hence the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
If New England rolls up and down the field and gains 550 yards but turns over the ball four times, we know what's going to happen. But I think you're asking a lot for them to suddenly, after 2 months, turn into a turnover machine again. Now, we know Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil, that group can get after the quarterback. And, you know, much has been said about the Patriots' last three playoff games, in which they've lost all three. And I believe, by the way, Tom Brady's been sacked 13 times in those three playoff losses.
Right.
Five to the Giants, five to the Jets, and three to the Ravens. And the Ravens game, of course, he threw three interceptions, hence turnovers again. So to me, since Denver didn't show the ability to stop New England, I have to go with the Patriots at home. By the way, not to jump off this game.
Yep.
The four home teams this week.
Yeah.
New England and San Francisco are 7-1. Green Bay and Baltimore are 8-0.
Right.
That's a combined 30-2.
It's not bad.
Okay. And every one of these home teams, New England's won four in a row at home. Okay. San Francisco's won six in a row at home. Baltimore's won 10 in a row at home. Green Bay's won 13 in a row at home. The last time all four home teams swept this round was 2004. John, the last 6 years in the divisional playoffs, you know, with that 2 weeks rest?
Yeah.
Home team, 12. Road team, 12.
Right.
It's pretty even, Steven. New England's problems there last year.
I knew you were going there,
Hats off to the Denver Broncos. And I don't want to turn this into a you-know-what about the quarterback. All I know is that the Denver Broncos were a 4-12 team, and including last week, they've now won 9 games. That's never because of one person. You got to give John Fox and his staff an awful lot of credit that they are where they are right now.
Sure.
But I just think this is too tall an order for a team that's still kind of trying to find itself. And I expect, I think we're going to see a Houston-New England AFC championship game.
Houston-New England. I think a lot of
and
Patriots
a San Francisco-Green Bay NFC title game.
I think Patriots fans would probably be thrilled with that right now. Russell, as always, my man, great stuff, great analysis. I look forward to breaking down the championship games with you next week.
You got it, my man.
Thanks. Have fun this weekend.
All right, John. Have a great weekend.
You too. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Is she hanging on, Kevin, to talk? Kat, what in the world are you doing hanging on for 30 minutes?
Well, you know, I can listen to it on the phone.
Well, you can. That's either extreme dedication or something else wacko. So, which is it?
Well, I got nothing else to do today. It's
wow.
Snowing about probably 4 inches so far today.
Nice.
So,
okay. So
I'm
it's
home.
It's coming down in Chicago. Okay. That's
yes,
good to know.
It is.
Good to know. What's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking about the Tebow stuff and everything earlier. And
right.
I think ESPN has the same people polling that Tebow poll as the guys in South Carolina do about Stephen Colbert being in the presidential race down there.
That's pretty good.
Pretty
I like
certain.
That. I like it. I like it.
So, and I was also thinking about, too, the you know, you were talking about the Patriots hate from kind of all corners in ESPN. And actually, I'm glad that Tebow is getting so much publicity because I think it fires them up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we all know that the Patriots like being the underdog and they haven't been an underdog for a long time. And this kind of puts them back in that role and gets them fired up that, you know, they're not getting the kind of the respect that, you know, maybe they deserve. So
well, you know,
I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Eric told us the top of the hour that Kyle Love in the locker room today was very frank about that. He said, yeah, I'm kind of getting tired of this. Getting tired of this. You know, it seems to all revolve around him, and I think it's time that somebody does something about it. So it's good to know that, you know, there's at least one person in that locker room who's in a position to do something about it, is ready to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm hoping that it gets them fired up. So
I'm thinking so.
Bring it on.
Absolutely bring it on. Now, I got to ask you the obvious question, though, here. If not Tebow, then who's your favorite athlete?
Well, not playing anymore, it would have to be Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
I love Rodney.
Okay.
And then still playing. I'm a football's my sport.
Right.
So I would say I love Vince Wilfork. I think he's fantastic. And then I have a soft spot for offensive linemen. I'm like, I don't know why. Every year in the combine, I get the most excited about watching them. I get offensive linemen, like, I don't know, just my thing. So I would say Mankins and Vollmer and Copen and pretty much anybody on that line. I think Solder's been great. So,
Kat, you like the big guys, huh?
I always root for the offensive linemen.
she's a chubby chaser, John.
Chubby chaser, yeah.
What can I say?
Like it. All right. Well, very good stuff. Oh, I need a score from you.
I'm going to say Patriots 34, Broncos 27.
34-27. Oh, so you like the Broncos to hang a little bit.
Well, yeah, I think they'll come on late. I think it's going to – I think at halftime.
Okay.
You know, I think it could be close. I think the Patriots will pull away then. And then I think in the fourth quarter, the Broncos will come back. I think there'll be that little spark of, you know, of something that, that Tebow has that's going to get them rallied.
Okay.
But I don't think ultimately that they'll make it.
Okay. Excellent stuff, Kat. Enjoy the game. Let's make a we'll make an appointment for next week, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for hanging on. Kat in Chicago. Let me get to some of these emails because I got a ton of them here. Folks that are, you know, kind enough to answer our questions today. Bob from Watertown, formerly Bob from East Boston, says, Pats blow out Denver 45-16. Broncos offense won't get many points. Last week they got in the red zone twice against Pittsburgh but came away empty. Pats will hang at least 40 on them. And he says, thanks for another great year of playbook. We're not done yet, Bob, but thank you. Brian, I'm not sure who my favorite athlete is, honestly. I like Brady. I like Gronk. I like Michael Phelps. I like Michael Jordan. I like Nick Mangold. I know he's a Jet, but he seems a pretty stand-up guy. I like Zdeno Chara, Tim Thomas. There are so many athletes I respect for different reasons. I just don't feel that Tebow's earned the hype he's receiving because of his skill. I'm honestly sick and tired of hearing about him. I feel he's been given this amount of publicity because of his faith, and for the disenfranchised religious types in this country, they see a figure who's a good person, is extremely faithful, and they rally behind him. You can't ignore the theological rift in this country that currently exists outside of football. I'm not trashing religion or Tebow. I simply think we're allowing a greater theological issue in the U.S. to become a focus in the NFL, which really isn't appropriate. Just my opinion, though. And, oh, by the way, Pats over the Broncos, 52-14. Thank you, Brian. PJ in Michigan. Favorite athlete, Tom Brady. Work ethic. Cares about winning, not about stats. Perfect example that number one picks don't matter in the NFL. And he says, Pats 34, Denver 14. Chris. Chris in Seattle. I don't know, John. I think rants against Tebow mania are a part of Tebow mania. For my part, I say bring it on. I can barely concentrate on my desk job. I'm so excited. I love the hype. Just like I'd love it if Manning goes to the Jets. Why not have all the brouhaha? Aren't we all fanatics? Yes, that's true. Sure, there are lots of non-sports overtones to this whole thing, but so what? Saturday night, we'll all be watching the game. I love it. Just my 2 cents. He says, favorite athlete, Troy Brown. Score, Patriots 30, Denver 16. John. Ooh, this is John A. My favorite athlete for the last several years has been Rodney Harrison. Second time we've had a Harrison vote. I know he's no longer playing, so I'll pick a new one. Here we go. Julian Edelman has risen and become my favorite athlete. It's a guy who excels at every role he's been put in, reminiscent of Troy Brown. I haven't seen anyone play with such a heart in a long time. He's got great ability, even though he doesn't specialize at one position. Starting off, seeing his name, Minnie Welker, then start returning kicks like a champ. I was most impressed with him wrecking LaDainian Tomlinson. Keep it up, Julian. I would love to put him as a spy on Tebow. Score, 45-17. Why? Because this team is so motivated by the previous playoff failures, they're hungry again. Brian, again. Brian from Longview, Texas. Unfortunately, my favorite football athlete is retired, Barry Sanders. Best running back ever, simply because he earned his yards without a line his entire career compared to Emmitt Smith and others. I could go on forever on that, but I digress. My favorite active player would have to be Brady, without a doubt. I've watched him ever since his days at Michigan. Each year he truly just keeps getting better and better. He's always improving the way a quarterback should in the aspect of making himself and others around him better. As far as the game, Patriots win 27-17. I feel it'll be a lot closer than the previous meeting because I feel the Broncos will be more cautious with controlling the turnovers. That's actually a pretty good analogy. Sterling. Bottom line, the Patriots have to literally wipe the floor with the Broncos and send the towels FedEx back to Mile High. This cannot be a close game, period. Let's see. What else do we have here? This comes from Ken, who says, John, the poll is a perfect example of why people should be very careful about any survey or poll they get. Here are the facts. ESPN surveyed 1,502 Americans aged 12 or older. A grand total of 3% identified Tebow as their favorite professional athlete. Tebow finished in front of Kobe Bryant, 2%, Aaron Rodgers, 1.9%, Peyton Manning, 1.8%, Tom Brady, 1.5%. Well, that means he got double the votes of Tom Brady then, didn't he? So let's put this in perspective. ESPN polled 1,502 people. Of those 3%, i.e. 45 of them, said Tim Tebow is their favorite pro athlete. And because 45 people in America picked Tebow, Tebow is suddenly now the most popular athlete in America. So if you want to put it another way, they could have led the headline with 97% of the American public could care less about Tim Tebow. Or 97% of America would not have embraced Tebow as their favorite pro athlete. Same stats, but not the message they want sent. ESPN has become the Fox News of sports journalism. When the facts don't mesh with the response you want, just skew the facts, or in some cases, just ignore them. And he says, by the way, credit PFT for the info. Florio was early on it this morning. Ken from Canton. Correct you are. All right, and we'll make sure the PFT gets that, Pro Football Talk. And I'm glad you brought up all of that, but it just shows you what ESPN wants to do, and they want to drive agenda totally and completely. And it's gotten worse the longer that I've been away from the network myself. I made that comment early in the program. Jim says he's listening in from Edmonton. I see the Patriots winning in a cakewalk, 52-17. This will be the most lopsided game since we crushed the Titans a couple years ago. Steven Ridley and Ben Jarvis are going to run riot. I see them splitting most of the carries. I bet that the Pats will get them involved in the passing game. You can also have to consider that every Patriot player who was on the roster last year remembers the sting of that loss. And my favorite Patriots, Julian Edelman. I love the fact he can play anywhere and have an impact. That's talent. Thank you, Jim in Edmonton. Gene in Daytona. Favorite athlete all time, Bobby Orr, present Tom Brady. Patriots 31, Broncos minus 2. Yes, that's right. A minus 2 for all the Tebow crap I've had to listen to. Jeff, favorite athlete, Tom Brady. Aaron Hernandez. Guess that's a toss-up. Pats 34, Broncos 14. Let's see. Andrew, I'm so freaking tired of Tebow, Tebow, Tebow. I turn on the TV and it's Tebow. The radio, Tebow. Internet, Tebow. Just NFL.com has about 4 different story headlines with Tebow in them. It's crazy how many good stories there were this season, just how little attention most stories have gotten because of Tebow. Can't wait for the Pats to crush them this week so we can finally have at least a couple of weeks this season without so much Tebow talk. As far as the game, obviously I think the Pats will crush them. I'm honestly not afraid looking past this game. I don't feel they're thinking about anything but the Broncos. Not Tebow, the Broncos. As far as favorite player athlete, my favorite of all time, Barry Sanders. Second vote for Sanders. Humble, amazing to watch, no drama, 100% class act, without having to constantly display his beliefs for everyone to see, and almost always did it all on his own. Pats 37, Broncos 10. That's Andrew in Utah. Brian in New Mexico. My favorite athlete is Patrick the Dolphin Killer Chung. He seems to improve a bit each game. Chung's energy is infectious. He never gives up on a play. His diagnosis skills show off his Belichickian smarts. I don't like to put athletes on pedestals related to their personality, but I do like that whenever Patrick speaks, he always has a smile on his face. Seems like he would be fun to work alongside. Patriots beat the Broncos 45-20. Bruce in Baltimore. You lit me up with your comment on the ESPN conspiracy. I frequently border on anger when I read the Belichick comments. Ugh, very old news. Get over it. I can't believe the Patriots are looking ahead. There has been too much focus on losing the last 3 playoff games and squandering last year's number 1. The Pats are healthier than they have been all year. Mentally tough. I predict we see 60 minutes of good defense on Saturday and see the defense score. Once again, it'll be the Patriots to quiet the Tebow madness and end the talk. 34-19. My favorite athlete, Gronk. I like that he's having his fun and playing well. Sneak in a couple of more here. Dale, Patriots 45, Broncos 7 is what he says for a score. And he says, my favorite athletes include several people with whom I've raced on team in training. I would not want their names mentioned here, but he says, Tim Tebow seems like a fine fellow. If you don't just listen to the sound bites, he does have a very positive effect on his teammates, something Brady needed to pick up on a little bit when TB was getting down too harshly on his receivers, like in the Washington game. Tebow seems to have a very positive leadership style, and I wish him well as a leader for his team in future years, as long as he isn't playing the Pats. Tony, I see Marshall Faulk has picked the Broncos to win. That Tebow looked like Tom on some of those throws from last weekend. Anyway, obviously fair and unbiased opinion isn't something we should expect from analysts that were former players, but Marshall's thinly veiled hatred for the Patriots actually makes him come across a bit dumb. Marshall's lucky he knew how to run fast, otherwise he'd still be selling hot dogs in New Orleans. That spanking that Bill gave him 10 years ago is still stinging, I suppose. I kind of agree with that. Talk about a hater on the Patriots. Marshall Faulk.
Oh, he started to come around a little bit last year, but I mean, it's
he's a hater.
I don't know why these people have jobs. It's so agenda driven. Most of them. It's so transparent, see through most of them. And you know, a guy like Fran Charles, who I love, I don't know how he puts up with it, because you know he wants to smack some of these guys around.
I know. Tony in Toronto says the score of the game will not be close. Tebow turns it over at least two times. Pats put up 41. We'll make it 41-15. Adam from Colorado Springs. We're all over the map today. I know this is a little off topic. I'm a longtime diehard Pats fan, Boston native, on my way out of the military. We all know that Gillette Stadium is pretty quiet compared to other venues. I know this is due in part to spoiled fans. However, the open design does not help. With all the money Mr. Kraft makes, season ticket waiting list as long as it is, why wouldn't he consider adding some seats? You know, we've kind of talked about that before. I think they like the open air atmosphere of it. It's been discussed. I think they actually designed the stadium with that in mind, but I don't think there's any.
I don't want a dome.
They're thinking about doing is closing in more seats in the north end zone where the bridge and the lighthouse are. And you could probably add in another 5,000 to 10,000, but I think they like the fact it's a tough ticket, and I think they like the fact that the bridge and the lighthouse are unique to any other stadium that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to mess. Aesthetically, it's a beautiful stadium, and sometimes I wish it was louder. You know, there's no question it needs to be loud. I hope it's loud on, even though it'll be cold, so people have gloves on, but
right. Scream
your butts off on Saturday night. Please. Please.
Anything in particular coming up?
Well, you know, I was watching I was riveted to on ESPN, the Super Soccer MLS Draft. They actually call it that. So I was riveted going through. What funny was that this kid from Dorchester got drafted out from Notre Dame by some team of what? No, seriously. So we're going to break that down.
nice try.
Jonathan's upstairs going, don't rip the revolution. I'm not rip the revolution. I just think it's boring.
Nice try.
But anyway. Now, lots coming up. Bilo's going to join me around 4:30.
Okay.
For the remainder of the show. No fantasy. We're just going to get him on. He's PFW. He's a good football guy, so we're going to break down all the games with him.
Good.
Obviously, we're going to go through the Patriots in Denver, but I do have a special treat coming up the top of the hour, because everybody seems to be writing all these ridiculous songs about Tebow. So I figured I would also join in, and what I think is one of the best songs out there. And I came up with this. I wrote it, directed it, and Kevin will help me produce it, and we're going to do it live.
Nice.
First, coming up at the top of the show.
Nice.
I think people will get will get a kick out of it.
Nice. All right.
Get a kick out of it.
So you got to stay tuned so you can hear this coming up.
Yep. And then we'll take all the phone calls and emails, obviously.
Sweet.
And go through some of the national predictions out there. I think some of you will be surprised at some of them, but I'll go through some of the more well-known national guys. Yes, Kev.
And Bilo's going to stop by, too.
I said Bilo.
He said that.
I said that already. Your headphones
just
are
wanted to pump him up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 4:30, right? Yep. We'll be here. So we got lots going on, but just you want to hear the song. After I do, I'm going to sing it live, and then it'll be posted on the page, and then on YouTube, and then I'll be on on Letterman coming up hopefully next week.
Good. All right, that's coming up momentarily. Let me get Howard in Stratford, Connecticut here with a final word. He says that it's an exciting week with the Pats in the playoffs again. Hopefully they come out firing on all cylinders, don't have a bye week hangover. Pats mid-30s to low 40s, Broncos high teens to mid-20s, and my favorite athlete of all time would have to be Andre Tippett. Having studied karate under the same teacher and actually getting to spar with Andre for my first belt test, he was amazing to go up against in karate. I can only imagine from watching him play and get all those sacks that he was a special athlete. Interesting. Sorry to hear you won't be calling the game this weekend, but here's to you working next week at Gillette for the AFC Championship game.
Is that game on ESPN? Friars and Siri? Could it be on something?
Who knows? It's on one of the ESPN somewhere, I think. Probably. One of them.
I just can't get EIFM at my house, that's why. I suppose I could listen online, right? It's on online?
You could.
Online? That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Be online, too.
Give yourself some support, you know? I want to hear.
Thanks, buddy.
I want to hear JR and Syracuse in the Dome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but when it gets to be a 30-point margin, you have my permission to turn the channel.
You know, Providence could be up 40. You'd be like, Friars up 160. God darn it. I wish I was home watching the game. that's going to be hard. That's hard as a play-by-play guy.
It's never
knowing
easy.
That,
never easy, but it's...
Well, at least the game hopefully will end. Maybe a quick post-game show for you.
I need to get to the radio so I can see the, you know, listen to the game here. Yeah. All right, same patch time, same patch channel next week, win or lose. I guess we do a wrap-up next week, right, Kev? All right, so we'll be back on Tuesday, but hopefully it'll be win. So then it will be the AFC Championship game we will be discussing in the playbook. Pete's next.
Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.